side here, but you can also enter it from the hallway also. And then there's men and women's restrooms back here in this corner, off of the band. And what else? There is a snack bar downstairs in the dining room after the service tonight and after the service tomorrow night. Also, the gym will be open after service tonight and tomorrow night. So, y'all ready to have a meeting? Let's all stand. Ask God to come in and have his way with us. Precious Lord, oh God, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, touch our meeting here this night, tomorrow, and Saturday. You know the needs here, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Glory be to God, glory be to God. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, God, have your way, Lord. Take your chair, Lord. Take your, have your will and take your place here in this meeting. Amen, amen. All right. Looks like there's probably still some chairs of some of you ministers out there. Still here, you could make room for others out there. So if you're used to sitting on the platform at home, well, there's still chairs up here. More than welcome to make your way up. All right, God bless you. Let's just let the Lord have his way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe the ushers go with dim the lights back there. Maybe over here. We've been getting ready for this youth meeting. Lord, oh Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. I want to know you in your sufferings, Lord. Lord, let me get to know you more. I don't want to just know about him, but I want to know him. I want to understand him. Every single thing about him. I want to know what makes him tick.
I don't want to offend him. When I come before my king, I want to come humbly before him. But I know I can go boldly and say, God, I need you. And he will not refuse me. I've been thinking about this. Last week, we had a wonderful group of youth from the Houston Assembly come by to lift us up on their way to the other meeting. And a lot of different ones, older ones, were getting up and explaining about youth meetings gone by, about how their lives had been changed in this youth meeting here in Little Rock. I was born and raised in the body, a fourth-generation body brat. But you know what? 18 years ago, I was in a youth meeting just like you're in today. Sitting in these seats, I knew the words to say. I knew the catchphrases. I knew the things to get the adults to not look my way. Why? I knew about him, but I didn't know him for myself. After that youth meeting in October of that year, I walked out those doors not to come back for 3 years. That's not the testimony you want. Thankfully, he's our Savior, and there was a church here at 8101 Colonel Glenn that I could come back into, and he is still a Savior today. That story of the prodigal son is in there for a reason, because there's hard-headed people like me that need it. But what I'm up here to tell you today is, don't take that step. Today, do you know him? Do you really know the Lord? You have him as a personal Savior. He's accepted you. He's forgiven you of your past sins. Have you taken that next step? Have you received the earnest of your inheritance? Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Are we still not a people that believe in receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? I believe we are here today, right? Are we afraid of that holy roller moniker? Let me tell you, I'm not afraid of that today, because I know him. I know him. And you can know him better. I've been blessed with a wonderful wife. And whenever I was trying to woo her. I wanted her to know, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I know God has put you in my path. I had to learn about her. What were their likes? What were their dislikes? I want to stay away from the dislikes, right? I want to see that smile on her face. I want that personal relationship with my Heavenly Father. I want to be able to feel him just like our brothers and sisters of old, when the apostles, the disciples at that time, and those in the upper room, 120, when they all gathered together, they were in one mind and one accord. They knew him, and they knew what he was wanting. He was wanting them to seek him, to wait, to tarry until they be endued with power on high. Today, when I looked out and seen this crowd, I was thinking about that. As we started to worship the Lord, as that last song was being played, you could see what was pleasing to the Lord there. You could feel that spirit to come in. But you know what? Like I said, I've been here many years now. I've been to many youth meetings. My children are now going to youth meetings. That first day, that first time when you come through the doors, you've traveled, some of you, 20, 25 hours to get here. You just might be a little tired. You may not know the person next to you. You have that feeling of reservation. But you know what? You know someone very important here today. You know the Lord. You have a relationship with him. Put everything else aside. Let's make this night a different night for each and every one of us. All we have to do is lift our hands and worship him. That's all we have to do. If we'll just lift him up, if we'll just lift up the name of the Lord today, if we'll just call on him and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you, Lord. Put it aside. Forgive me for this, because I said I was that youth. I came to many a youth meeting, and I counted it a success by the number of addresses that I had. Forgive me, Lord. Put aside the Janes and the Joes, and let's lift up the name of the Lord today. Let's worship him. Let's lift him up today, church. Let's call on him. Let's magnify his name. He is worthy.
didn't have any thought about saying anything tonight, but I feel something now. And so I probably won't say anything else in this meeting, but the Lord gave me a thought this week that I think is for you guys. You know, preachers can't really talk on anything or do anything to help anybody unless it's something that the Lord's gave them, something, you know, the Lord's helped them with. And but I've had this thought this week and been dwelling on it about you young people in the body of Christ. And what day we're living in, what time in God's plan that you're living in. You're living in a different world than those of us that are older, the generation before grew up in. In fact, I'm not sure that we understand where you're at in this world and how you're relating to it. It's a different world than we grew up in. But we can feel your need for God's help. We can see that the corruption that's in the world, we can see the mindset, the social media that has taken us by storm in the last several years, which I know if it's used right, it's all right. But I'm just saying, you young people you're living in a different day. But you are different young people. And you need to understand that. Peter, let me read you a scripture, and this is borrowing from Peter's words to the Gentiles, and in that world back there, in the first letter of Peter. And the second chapter, in the 9th verse, when he told them, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." They really weren't a nation like the nations of the world, but this was God's people. The body of Christ back there. You people have the same calling. Somehow I feel in the end of this world that I know when when I was a young person, Brother Fisher was giving you a little bit of his testimony of his coming up in this. But I just feel like God's going to do something special for the youth of the body of Christ in the end of this world. I was thinking today, when Jesus, when he was 12 years old, and he was just a human boy, he took on the seed of Abraham, not the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham, and he took on our nature so he would know what life is like here. And somehow at 12 years old, I know the angels visited him. I know his mama talked to him. I know his aunt probably talked to him. His daddy probably talked to him. He had the history of how he got here. You know, you still got to believe that. I mean, how many of y'all have had great touches of God and you still have trouble believing, I am specially chosen of God for a purpose? I'm different than the rest of the world, but I'm specially chosen. And at 12 years old, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Something was happening to him. And look, don't put him way off somewhere and you somewhere else. We've got too much scripture that shows when he said to his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to prepare a place for you so you can be exactly where I'm at right now. You can have what I have, and my death, burial, and resurrection and coming back on the day of Pentecost is going to afford that for you. And we're to be conformed to his image, Paul said, that he might be the firstborn among many. So, some people back there were specially chosen people for God's purpose. The thought that I was having was, it took me all the way back to Job. I don't talk on the book of Job a whole lot. I don't really like that book. here's probably the most righteous man in the world in his day, from what we know. And he gets caught in a conflict between God and Satan. Let me tell you something. You need to understand this. It wasn't all about Job. It was about God. It's about the plan of God. It's about God's working in the earth. Let me tell you something today. It's not all about you. Somewhere, some place, if you find your place in this, if God helps you to find it, you're going to somehow say, I must be about my Father's business. The suffering he went through. how would you do? Don't just take him. Look at the story of Joseph. Chosen of God. Specially chosen of God. God gave him some dreams. God gave him dreams knowing that he would tell those dreams to his mom and daddy and his brothers. And God knew it'd make them hate him. But this wasn't all about Joseph. It had to do with God's plan, God's purpose. He was, they was going to kill him. God helped with that because it was his plan. He sent some, was it Amalekites? What was it, Brother Durham? Ishmaelites, that's it. by right while they were determining what to do with him. And they said, let's sell him. Sell him to those guys. And he wound up down in Egypt. And he was a good servant to Potiphar. And that got him thrown in jail. He wound up in a dungeon. But it wasn't. But look, you have to understand something. Let me give you a scripture in Romans. I'm sorry that, you know, normally we just open this thing up, but I just feel that the Lord wanted me to mention this to y'all. In the 11th chapter of Romans, Paul's talking about the Jews and the fact that they were a tame olive branch, and he was telling the Gentiles that they were a wild olive branch and how God grafted in the wild olive branch. It's talking about us. Us Gentiles. Look back. The Jews were tame because it took God 2,000 years to tame them. He tamed them with the law of Moses. He sent Joseph down there in Egypt. And Joseph, what God put Joseph through, no man could have felt the way he felt about it if God hadn't helped him. He told his brothers, after his brothers who tried to kill him and sold him into slavery, but by the time the Lord finished working on him, he knew that they did it for evil, but God did it for good, that he might save many. And he probably didn't know, and they probably didn't know, that they were going down there to spend 430 years of taming, and that they'd wind up themselves in slavery. God's hand on a special chosen people that God had to tame. He had to deal with them that they would accomplish his purpose. Because when you go back and look at Job, no one but Job could go through what he went through, and when he finished going through it, that he could realize that God done something special for him. And he did something special for his purpose, because it's wrote down. And we're still looking at it and talking about it today. That God could have a man. And God can have people that can stand in righteousness in the face of all kinds of adversity and still hold on to God and his righteousness, and finally come to grips with what God's will is and not what their will is, and can humble themselves so that they could become his workmanship. You are special, chosen young people. You'll never be like the world. You'll never be a part of this world. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. He'll never leave you alone. If you make your bed in hell, you'll find out he's there. Because you're his children. Now, look at all the other people that was around when all this was happening to Job. They was probably just doing whatever they wanted to do. When Israel was going through what they were going through, in Egypt, the Egyptians didn't know what that was all about. They were just eating, drinking, marrying, and given in marriage. Just like in the days of Noah. They didn't know what was happening in Noah's day. People today don't know what's going on in this world. You have a special insight. You have a special calling. You are a peculiar. You're goofy. You are goofy people to this world. You will never fit in. You're like a square. Now, when I was a kid, a young person, that we called them squares. You know, people who were goofy. What do y'all call them? What do y'all call them? Give me a name. Nerds. That may be out of date. What, is there a better one? Huh? A geek? Huh? An Aerial? Weirdo. Well, okay, that's traditional. That's classical, weirdos. You are like a square trying to fit in a round hole. You'll never fit in this world. Now, you can say, I feel slighted because of that. Let me tell you, you are blessed because of that. Because He chose you to be a part of His eternal plan. This is about God, His kingdom, His everlasting kingdom. And we're part of it. You'll have to go through whatever He puts you through to realize that, to get the real reality of it. Like this video said, do you know Him? I wonder, do you know Him? No, none of us know Him like He wants us to know Him. But we will, if we follow on to know Him, we will know Him in His fullness. And he had to tame the Israelites. It took him 2,000 years to get them tame enough that he could call some of them out to be a part of his bride, his ruling element, that he was going to finish a work that would take 1,000 years to do. And he spent almost 2,000 years. We're down in the end of it. We're getting down in the end of the 2,000-year Gentile world that he's been taming. He's going to graft. I mentioned this Sunday. He's going to graft the Jews back in before he's finished with us down here. When the fullness of the Gentiles come, he'll graft us back in. The Jews, he'll graft them back in. He's still been working on them. You see, God has to have, he has to get us in a place where we can receive. It doesn't have to do with this world. This world is part of the clay that he's molding his special vessels out of, and that clay will be done away with. The leftover. The remnant. But God's working on a special people with a special calling. Paul said to know how to possess your vessels in sanctification. That word sanctification means to be separated from the world, to be called out for his purpose. So, this is not all about, you know, when we first come in, when you first come to the Lord, it is all about you. You come in to get saved. You know, everybody's trying to help you. You're trying to get all this you can get. But at some point, you have to grow up. You got to realize, you know, God's starting to work something in me that it's adverse to my nature, my old man, you know, my Adamic nature. Because he's trying to tame me. He's trying to prepare me for this special calling. I'm part of a called out people. For His purpose. The Apostle Paul, I just wonder, I mean, here this man was one of the greatest chief apostles of the end of the Jewish world and the body of Christ, and it's in that first fruits of God's working in the new covenant and opening it up to the Gentiles. And he was, I mean, you would think that a man this important, that was working as hard as he was working for God, and he was beaten with a cat of nine tails, what, four times? Shipwrecked, left for dead. I mean, you would think God would shelter this guy. This guy would, he would have God's favor riding on a, protective cloud of some kind. But it wasn't all about Paul. It was about God. If you can get on this thought pattern with me, to realize that God is working on a big plan. I have an opportunity. I've got a calling to be a part of it. And He's working on me, but I'm going to have to, for me to be fully yielded, for me to be useful, for me to be His workmanship, I'm going to quit having to worry about whether or not I'm being treated right or not. I've got to begin to trust Him and realize that He's working something in me that's important, not only for me, but for Him, for His use. We don't see we're still looking through a glass darkly. We don't see the full program yet. You have the full understanding of His workings. But if you'll let Him work in you, if you'll yield to it, if you can humble under it. See, when you fight it, any of y'all ever fight this? I know you do. Because I know what happens in here. I know what what's in flesh. I just want you to know, you are a special called out young people for God's purpose. And it's not all about, what your pastor says, how you got to do this or how you got to do that, or the good principles that he's putting in your life that puts restraint on your life. Look, that's God's taming. It's God trying to help you see you do not own yourself. We are God's creation. He can do what He wants to with it. It belongs to Him. You belong to Him. He owns you. But He's a great God of love. Everything He does for you is for your good. His plan is for good. He's not a selfish God. He's not feeding His ego. He's not going to feed yours either, I'll promise you. But He wants you to get the big picture. He wants you to humble down, yield over. Let Him have your life. You can't make up your mind you're going to do what you're going to do in this life. You're just going to do what you're going to do if God wills. That's the best you can put on it. And He'll direct you, though. The Bible does say the steps of a good man, and I'll say that includes good women, are ordered of the Lord. God will direct your steps. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. I know sometimes we don't think He is. Sometimes we think, where are you, Lord? Don't you know that Joseph thought that when he was in the dungeon, when he was in jail? Don't you know sometimes Paul wondered, what am I doing? I've got the greatest message in the world. I'm sitting in a jail cell. I'm cold. I need a coat. And I'd like to just have some of the parchments to read some of the scriptures, Lord, if I'm going to be in here. You think God forgot him? No. He was in the taming process. He was still undergoing God's getting him ready for eternal life. God getting him ready. And he told them not to worry about him. He said, look, this is, how did he say, didn't he tell them that was for their sakes? The suffering he was going through? How could you get that out of that? See, you got to get your testimony. When the war in heaven took place in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, those that how does it say that? That they overcame by the word of their testimony. This is your testimony. No one else can have your testimony. You are specially called of God, a member in particular. And I'll tell you something, it'll take a lot of weight off if you just realize that, hey, Lord, you've got control of my life. I'm just going to yield to that. I'm just going to believe that. I'm just going to believe you're going to direct it. That doesn't mean you don't have any responsibility. You have plenty of responsibility when you understand that, especially of doing what you know is His will. And then sometimes when you miss His will, you have to let Him help you make the adjustments. But I still believe, you know, it took me, you see this white hair? It used to be coal black. And it took me to getting all this white hair to get where I'm at today. But somehow I believe that some of you will not have to get white-headed to have everything I have and more. Because I believe God is going to help some young people just like He helped His own son. I think some of y'all can bypass some of the years that it takes to mature in God in my generation that it took. Because I think God's going to give us grace that will make up the difference for you. And I challenge you, young people, to let God use you, to get busy about His business and realize that no matter what you think you're suffering or whatever you're going through that you don't think's fair, get out of that mindset and begin to realize this is His workmanship that's working in me. He's taming me. He's getting me ready to use in the end of this world to do the final work in making up His bride for something coming, you young people. Don't get to thinking. I've heard this ever since I, you know, was a little bitty body brat. Some of you aren't body brats. Some of you just came in. Somebody asked me one time. I was down in Brother Bud's church in Sebastopol at that time, and he was having Bible study that morning. He said, "Well, it's good Brother Smith's here." He said he's here, so we'll just let him take Bible study. Y'all just go ahead and ask him all the questions you want to ask him. I said, Oh, really? One of the sisters there asked this question. She said, "Brother Smith, isn't it?" She said, "You know, some of these people grew up in here. Their kids grew up in here. They were born here." But she said, I just came in here not long ago. My girls were teenagers when they came in." She said, "Isn't it unfair that they come in here and they haven't heard all of this, and they have all of this other stuff that's ingrained in their lives, and they've got to try to catch up?" That's what I didn't. Me and Brother Sharber, we come in here, we wasn't born in this. We come in here and we thought all y'all was almost perfect when we got here. And we thought, God, I kind of was mad at God at first. He understands that. He understood that I was goofy, weird, old. And he let me get by with that. But, because I thought, why didn't you let me find this earlier? But I finally came to realize that he brought me just in time for me. And I told this sister, she said, "Isn't this unfair?" I said, "Yes, it's unfair. Sin is unfair. But let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven that can take the unfairness of sin, and he can give you whatever it takes to make up the unfairness of sin and escalate you to exactly where you need to be, and you can be exactly where these people are that came in here or were born in here. There's people going to come in here in the 11th hour and they're going to get the same penny. And we ought to be glad about that. We ought to be glad that there's people going to come in here and God's going to touch their minds, and they're going to get in here in a time when God is going to touch people in such a way that they can go through a crash course and they don't have to go through the whole, you know, every step and all every grade. You know, hey, I'm glad I'm here. Those that come in, all I'm going to tell them is this. You know, hey, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're in the crash course. But let me tell you, it's been good to be here through all the steps, too. You know. Because this is a ride now. I'm telling you, God has you all on a real, genuine journey. And I don't know of anything better of it in this whole world. Because everything is in here. But God's working it. See, everything's out there. I'm talking about, you know, we've got all kinds of stuff in here. Everything that's in the flesh is in here. It's just getting tamed. Or God's got it in here to tame you or me. So these elements are all working in here, but out there in the world, it's working for naught. That's vanity out there. But God's working on something in here that's everlasting. And this is about Him more than it's about you, is the first thing we really need to understand when we come to understanding. And then you'll understand is really about me. It's about Him and His plan.
it's really about his love and what he wanted to do for me. In the end, what he the whole thing was for me and for you and for you and for you and for all of us. You're a chosen generation, saints. You'll never, ever be able to fit in the world. They have not a clue. They don't have a clue. That don't mean God isn't going to add many of them, thousands of them. They'll come in this before it's over with. But right now, God's chose you. And for God to be able to do what he wants to do in you, you have to do what they said in this song. Exactly what you said when you got saved. Exactly what you said when you got the Holy Ghost. When you said, yes, Lord. It has to be an unequivocal yes. No strings attached. I will. Whatever you want me to do, Lord. Whatever you want to do in my life, I accept it. My answer is yes. That's how you are chosen. As long as you keep saying yes, you are faithful. You know, those that are with him on white horses are the called, chosen, and faithful. And God's calling. There's some people here tonight, God's just calling you. You haven't said yes. You got caught up in the, you know, you're caught in the mix of this. God caught you up in the mix of this. And you're in the midst of a decision. And God's calling you to surrender. Be a part of his everlasting, eternal plan. And in this meeting, he'll ask you to give him an answer. And that answer will have to be yes. Not maybe so, not I'll think about it, but it has to be yes. Yes, Lord. Now, when we, those of us that have already said that, if you've said it very long ago, you've already hit places where you said, now, wait a minute, Lord, I didn't know about this. See, he didn't tell you about that because he knew you wouldn't have said yes if he had told you about that. Because he knew you didn't understand that this is not all about you. Neither is your thinking correct. It's not righteous. You come into this unrighteous. Your mind is not righteous. It lines up with the old Adamic nature. It has to be transformed that you might know what is his good, acceptable, and perfect will. There has to be a transformation process. It takes the Holy Ghost to do that. You don't have it, it's here for you. I wouldn't leave here without it. I just make up my mind, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost while I'm here. And I'll tell you how to get it. Say yes. Just say yes. Keep saying yes to him. That's what it takes. Say yes, you become no longer called, but you're chosen. When you say yes, you're his chosen. Because that's what he's asking you. I choose you if you'll say yes. You say, yes, Lord, you're my chosen. Hallelujah. God has spent 2,000 years taming the Gentile world. We come in this wild. I think we're still wild some. We're not fully tamed yet. But there's a taming process. It's going on, ongoing, and coming. I was thinking about it today, just in the car. I thought, I got to thinking about these guys. Job, Joseph. I could name a lot of them, but I mentioned Paul.
even Jesus, what he had to go through. And I got to thinking about what Taman do I still yet need? I said, God, help me. Help me to yield over to you and let you get me fully tamed. Or you could just graft me in completely. How'd you like to be hooked into the vine? If you abide in me and he abides in you, he said, if you abide in him and he abides in you, you can ask what you will. How'd you like to get in that place? It's available. You may have to let it work in you a while, but you can abide in him and he can abide in you. And remember, this isn't all about you. The plan of God. God is going to show himself to this world. He has shown himself in the worlds before. He's manifested himself back there to that whole world. That whole world, that gospel, and that manifestation was taken to the whole world back there 2,000 years ago. That was done through a people that were tamed and yielded to become his workmanship and to be a part of his everlasting kingdom. And they suffered. Their suffering that went on for the kingdom's sake, for the gospel's sake. And they understood that. And they let that work in them to manifest his love and his works, his grace. And it touched lives in such a way that they could not resist it. Let him use you, young people. Leave out of here reason, knowing that you're not in this life to do what you set your mind to do. But you're chosen especially of God for his working, for his workmanship. Let him work in your life. Yield your life over to him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. I don't know what we're going to have in this meeting, but I'm asking God to do something special in me and you. It's not all about me. I know that, but I need whatever he wants me to get, I want to get it. I want whatever he wants to work in me. I don't want to go through this for naught. I want to get whatever I'm supposed to get out of it, and I want you to get your part, okay? All right. Praise God.
Bye.
I'm a pilot, you know, and I know what it's like to go down the runway and get enough speed to get up in the air. And I'm expecting us to get airborne tomorrow. Oh, yes. When you get up high enough and you get out of the, you know, it's hot down low. A lot of flesh down low. You get up in the higher you get, the cooler it gets. The thinner the air gets, and the prettier things get. And the less weight, the less density, less weight and elements of the flesh that hinder us. But look, God wants us to get up, get the wings, to get us up in a high place. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? I know that y'all drove a long ways today, and many of you are tired. You probably, some of you got to your motel rooms, just threw your bags in, turn around, run back to get to church on time, or change clothes in time. There's no telling what your room looks like. I'd like to see some of them. But I wouldn't want you to see mine if I was in your place, so I'm not going to look. So we're going to let you go so you can get some rest. But there is, you know, downstairs in the dining room, there is a snack bar. You can have some fellowship before you go home. We'll let you get a little bit of rest in fellowship if you want to go down there. I can promise you this. They do have a snack bar down there, but you can't. There's nowhere you can get what you can get down there, even close to the same price. I mean, they got big fountain cokes down there for a dollar with a free refill, and I don't know if they're just going to trust you on that free refill deal. Now, there's a guy down there with a ball bat that you might want to watch for him, but no, I'm just kidding. But really, there's it's set up down there for you for fellowship and food, and the gym's open. But don't stay up past the curfew. Get some rest tonight. What time are we supposed to be back tomorrow morning? 11. What time's breakfast in the morning? There we go. Breakfast at 8 to 10:30. Service starts at 11, dinner's at 3. 10:30, short brand practice. Be sure you're here for that. Also, if you need, while you're here, and you need a first aid, you need, you know, medical attention, see one of the ushers, and they'll direct you to the first aid room and for someone to take care of you, help you. Brother Stewart, come and direct us. I need 10 more minutes. Is there a 10-minute preacher here? They're all long-winded. One time we was in a meeting and they had 15 minutes. And somebody said, Brother Smith, we need 15 minutes. Could you talk for 15 minutes? Brother Leniger reached over and grabbed me by the arm. He said, get somebody else. He's not a 15-minute preacher. I didn't have a chance to even try. All right. You got to take her. All right, good.
Am I wired up? Okay. Howdy, my name is Tim Perkins. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. Brother Bano's my pastor, and I help bring the youth up today. And I drove the bus, a long trip, so yeah, I'm one of the tired people too, so I'm looking forward to getting back to bed. But I did want to tell you about something that happened today on our trip up here. We've been on the road about 6 hours or so and decided it was time for lunch, so we stopped off, I believe it was in called Osceola, Arkansas. if I'm pronouncing that right. I think we're in Arkansas. Anyway, we found a McDonald's, and we stopped in there. I mean, that's something everybody can find something in there we like. And as we came inside, there was a fella sitting in a booth that I noticed I didn't pay any attention to. So we go on, and we order our food, and we're all finally sitting down just eating. And he comes up to me, and he asks me, "Are you the pastor?" Well, I told him, "No, I'm, you know, one of the youth leaders, you know, help shepherding this group." He probably just thought it because I'm an old guy like me. But he said, "I'm in need of prayer." Now I got to tell you, if you're from a city, you're usually expecting somebody who's approaching looking for money. And you're trying to figure out, am I going to give this guy $1 or $5 or what money I need? Or am I going to give him an excuse? Or am I going to tell liquor stores down the street? Or what am I going to do? But he had a very sincere look in his eye. And he said, "I need a prayer." And I said, "Do you want to pray right now?" And he said, "No, you finish your meal. I'll be sitting over at my booth." So I hurried up and gobbled it down, and I went over to talk to him. His name was, remember this name, Victor Chitico. No, is that right? Brother Victor. Remember Victor. God don't know who it is, okay? But remember him tonight when you pray. So he starts telling about his issues. He had come up here from Mexico to a job in this area. He didn't really know anybody. He was concerned about seeing his parents again sometime back in Mexico. You could see a worried look on his face. He showed me a Bible he carries in his pocket with him everywhere he goes. This is a man you could tell was discouraged and worried. So I talked with him. I tried to ease his mind. And yeah, we prayed right there in McDonald's together. And when we, and as we talked, we're done praying, he said, the reason he approached me, he said, is that when the youth came in, he could tell these felt like good people. It wasn't the long hair or the jean skirts or long sleeves and all that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it wasn't just what he saw. It's what he felt. That this was good people he could trust with an issue. That's the kind of light. Young folks, I'm not that stage when I say young folks, I'm not including me. That is the kind of light you can shine before people. Let your light shine before the world, and they'll feel. Remember the men on the road to Emmaus when Jesus appeared to him? Did not our hearts burn within us? That's what they felt something. Let them feel that something that's in you. You know, Brother Smith here was speaking about people are going to get the shortcut, the fast track when they come in. I'm going to tell you why that is to a degree. I work in the information technology field, and we have a phrase there called best practices. And what that means is, what is the best way to do anything? What is the best way to connect server A to server B? What is the best way to develop this web user interface to be used by some user somewhere else? What is the best way to do it? It's called the best practice. You know how that best practice is found? Through a lot of trial and error. Trial and error. We found out, hey, guess what? This way works better than that way. A lot of you are going to go through trials and errors, but you're going to discover in God the best way. And when you do, when those other young people that come in at the 11th hour are trying to find out how to do this, you can spare them the trouble saying, don't do it this way. This is the better way. This is the best way to do it. So I hope, Brother Smith, you're right. Tomorrow, we got to get airborne tomorrow. Now get your rest tonight, and then don't waste time in the morning. Get your wings up. Get your flaps up. Get ready to take off. I also play piano a little bit. I understand the burden these people are under. They don't just walk in here and flip a coin on the song. They'll be praying about it. They'll be one that's seeking the guidance from the Lord. What is the song to use? And then you know what they expect us to do? To get behind it. Any song that lifts up the Lord is a good song. Doesn't have to be your favorite. Put the rest of the world, you are here for a purpose. This is a youth meeting for the youth to get charged up and to get behind the service. And don't give me this introverted excuse. Yeah, I've heard that. Well, Brother Tim, you don't understand. I'm not that way. I'm kind of shy. I'm kind of introverted. You know one thing I've discovered? If I had a bunch of you all over to my house and for dinner, and we're all just socializing, and then my wife suddenly says, okay, it's dinner time. There wouldn't be one of you that would just stand off in the corner of the house too shy to come to dinner. You would understand that you came here for that purpose. It was dinner time. The thing to do is sit down at the table and enjoy the dinner. The thing to do when you're in here is to worship the Lord, to get the Spirit of God in here touching your life.
Because when the Spirit moves on you, then when the words come from behind this pulpit, they found wet soil to land on and start growing. Don't waste this opportunity.
He can talk longer than 10 minutes. All right, let's stand and give the Lord a praise. How are they going downstairs? Back through this back door and down that stairwell to downstairs. Brother Crafton's back there with his hand up. You can head back that way if you want to go downstairs for fellowship. So I think they've got hamburgers down there, hot dogs, chili dogs, French fries, chili cheese fries, nachos, chili cheese nachos, ice cream, Coke. I think they've got slushies. I don't know. A lot of stuff down there. Popcorn. Let's give the Lord a praise. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, for your watchful hand. God, for your protective hand that brought us here today, tonight. God, bless your young people. Give them rest tonight. Bless their fellowship. Bless the food. If they eat here, oh God, don't bless it if they go somewhere else. All right. God bless you. You're dismissed.